and welcome back to another episode of Mass Monologues. I'm so excited to have with me Jen. Can you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you do and why you got started.
So thank you for having me. So I'm Jen Fontanilla. I'm a certified money coach. I'm also a TEDx and international speaker. I'm also an author of 7 books. And I combine 25 years of experience in graphic design and 19 years in the financial industry. And I bridge the gap between my clients' mindset around money and their creative abilities so that they can clear their money blocks, change their relationship with their money, and empower them to live a prosperous, creative life filled with happiness, wealth, and joy.
Wow, that's a wonderful mission. I love that. Can you tell us a little bit more about the clients you work with? If they're creatives, what type of creatives do they tend to be? Or do you work with a wide array of creatives?
Yeah, it's a wide array. So I've had creatives who are singers, DJs, dancers. I have a Filipino background, so I know a lot of dancers and DJs. And then a few actors, copywriters. And then you have where it broadens out to content creators, because at the end of the day, content creators, we're writing, we're obviously filming, especially if you're doing tons of video and obviously creating your own graphics. But you can get real specific where it's the definition of a creative, and then it can always span out to, hey, you know what, whatever job you have, whatever career you have, it will encompass those types of things that involve creativity.
Yes. No, I love that entirely, just focusing on all sorts of creatives. Can you tell me what specifically you do with creatives? I know it's regarding finances, but is it more personal finances or more entrepreneurial business side?
Yeah, that's a great question, because money and finances, it could be so broad. I tend to focus more on the money mindset stuff, and I'll expand on what I mean by that. So I actually used to be a financial advisor. And so back then, that's when I focused more on the budgeting and the investments. But now, and this is what brought me to this side of things, I realized that there were patterns that people kept repeating. And then you had like your clients who were just on top of things. But then you also had the clients who, no matter how many times you had phone calls or how many times you tried to explain things, there was always something where they couldn't stick to it. And that's what got, you know, frustrating for me, because I want everybody to win. And so over the years, what I've discovered is that people have a relationship with money, and everybody has a story that's either rooted in lack and scarcity. And these subconscious patterns where maybe they heard something from their mom or their dad. And so it's building up these beliefs around money. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw that happening, I really gravitated towards that. Because I also have a science background. So I love the science behind things, of understanding why do people believe what they believe. And so there's so much neuroscience behind all of that. So in short, what I do is I help creatives understand, okay, what are your beliefs and where did this come from? And we take a look at these stories, and then we work together on releasing these limiting beliefs. There's a lot of forgiveness work. And then there's also the process of creating new beliefs and doing these simple daily things, because what I have found is that a lot of people lack structure, and we have the best intentions to be in doing like good habits and all these things, but life gets into the way. And so people don't do it right. And so it's helping people understand it's not crazy impossible. It doesn't have to be this, oh my goodness, this is so huge, I can't do it. It's just helping them see, no, we do this in pieces, and we don't, this is not a band-aid, that this is about changing your lifestyle so that you know how to navigate through this world with a different lens.
Yes. And with the creatives you work with, you were talking about this relationship they have with money. Have you noticed that most creatives have a scarcity mindset with money, or are they just oblivious to financial knowledge, or what has been the most common theme you've noticed?
That's a great question. It's been all over the place, because everybody has a different background. But one thing I will say that I have found that is common is that there is a lot of fear. And I'll give you some examples of what that can encompass. So there's fear of disappointing my parents because I didn't become a doctor, or I didn't become the lawyer, or I didn't take the traditional route that they wanted me to take, right? If you have immigrant parents, you know that this right? So this is something that we struggle with, because it's not about making our parents wrong, or that, my gosh, it's your fault, I'm not living out my passion. Also learning how to come from a space of having grace and understanding that they did the best that they could. And then there's just no awareness sometimes. So going back to your question about what do I see? There's always that fear of disrespecting your parents, or going against the grain, or dissing them, right? Disappointment is such a strong feeling that, you know, we, especially if you have a good, healthy relationship with your parents and you love them and they've done everything and sacrificed for you, it's a very hard thing for us to know or feel that we've disappointed them, right? The other, right? And so the other fear is, can I really make money doing this? If you came from a background where you're constantly hearing that you're either not going to make money, or it's not a real job, or that you didn't become the XYZ career field that they're asking you to be, you start to develop this fear. Wait a minute. What if they're right? Wait, what if I don't make it? And so that's scary for people. So then there becomes this fear of, I don't know if I want to actually step out in faith and do this. So those are some examples of the kind of fear that people, especially in these creative fields, are facing.
Yes. So I want to ask you, the creatives that you work with, are they emerging creatives? Are they just in that transition point where it might be a side hustle, maybe a passion project, and they come to you if they want to be fully invested in that creative work? Or are they already established?
It's both, right? And sometimes I think we have this misconception that, and this goes for any field, it not just in the creative field, but, and I say that because I remember I had a client years ago who was a successful doctor making multiple six figures. His finances were a mess. I could tell just by listening to him and having a conversation that he really didn't know what he was doing. And so I say that to those of you who are listening, that you can't just judge somebody because they have a certain title, or you think that, and they may be making a lot of money, but it doesn't mean they know what they're doing. And it doesn't mean that they are doing the right things with their money. And I can attest to that, because I have good friends who are CPAs and tax preparers, and those people really know what's going on, because they file your taxes, and they'll tell me about businesses and small businesses where things are such a mess and they have to clean it up. And this is what I'm saying. It goes back to the relationship with the money, how you treat it, how you keep it, how you invest it, what you do with it. Because there are many people out there who can be really good at making a lot of money, but it doesn't necessarily mean they have the healthiest relationship. So there are people who are in a space where they are successful, but sometimes they feel guilty. They don't want to spend the money because maybe they grew up in a house where their mom said, we can't afford it. So they have hoarding mentality, right? The other side of it is also, there are people who are emerging. They have their full time and they're sick of it, or they're over it, whatever they're doing, and they're ready to transition. And so there's that period of time where we're like, well, what can we do right now? Okay, let's look at some pieces, how we can slowly move into this. And so that's like in the beginning phase where they learn a different skill set in terms of looking at their money, where, okay, you definitely have to take out taxes for this, because this is 99 and you're not, you got to be responsible for this part. There's people in different stages in all walks of life, and of course, different backgrounds. And so it's always so fascinating for me to see what people go through. And a lot of it is obviously influenced by their upbringing.
Yes. And I love how you said, with even emerging artists or people who make money, let's say a doctor goes to medical school, a doctor doesn't go to school to learn about finances. And obviously that's when they seek out you. I'm wondering, let's say hypothetically, you are a full-time worker at your job that you're not satisfied with at all, but you've got this creative outlet. Let's just say you're a painter, you're an artist, and you want to find a way to make a full-time income off of what you do. What advice would you give them, and how would you go about structuring them, creating a plan with them for to enable them to have that financial freedom and do what they love doing.
Yeah, I think this is a big thing that many people who are in that space, well, what do I do? How do I do this? And I think the biggest, most important thing is to treat the money that is coming from this creative passion that starts, the money that starts coming in, act as if it's not there yet. And what I mean by that is start putting it aside. You don't spend it, because in order for you to make the jump from the full-time thing to this new passion, most of the time, if not all the time, it needs to get to the point where it's literally replacing what the full-time job was bringing in, right? Mm-hmm. I can tell you my own horror story where I made the jump too soon. Mm-hmm. Years ago, it was not fun. Right. It was not, but I obviously survived it. Yes. I have created every mistake, and that's why I had another cast host tell me, like, this is why I would listen to you, because you've seen every horror story, everything that can go wrong. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, I can speak from experience.
Yes.
It's really important to treat that money where you're, and I don't think it's wrong, spend a little bit. I don't teach clients to starve and deprive themselves, mm-hmm. but there has to be some kind of structure to it. So I truly believe in rewarding yourself. Enjoy some of it, but not half of it, but some of it. But
yes.
Definitely work a plan so that you get to the point where you're starting to see, okay, I have this money coming in. It's about 60% covering what I would have made in my regular job on a monthly mm-hmm. basis. And then when you, and that number is going to be different for some people, because some people may find that, you know what, I don't need all of this. Maybe they're making $6,000 a month now, for mm-hmm. example. But they may feel like, I want to do this jewelry business so badly. Mm-hmm. I only need $4,000. If I start hitting that, I'm good. I don't need to wait another couple months or whatever, mm-hmm. how long it takes to hit that $6,000 to completely replace it. So everybody's in a different space. So when you get to that space, then you have this idea of, okay, it's quote unquote safe. I can start to gauge when it's time to leave. But the other portion of it that's also important is to have some money set aside, because listen, this paycheck is going to stop. This gravy train is going to stop. So you also have to set aside some of the money so that you have a stash for those months where things aren't coming in. It's going to be a slow month, or especially if whatever it is that you're doing happens to be seasonal, right? Mm-hmm. Like some people's, let's say they do certain kinds of crafts, or you mm-hmm. do photography, or you might have some seasons. This is why during this time when you're mm-hmm. trying to figure out when to go, mm-hmm. you got to also set, not only see how far you're building it up, but see how much of that portion that's coming in from this creative position is going to be able to move in terms of the income, how much of that you can start moving into the stash. Because I think that's part of the things that makes things scary, is that if you don't have that nest egg or mm-hmm. that stash set aside, you're going to start freaking out. And we all know that when you're in that nervous, chaotic, scary space, mm-hmm. it totally messes up your creative flow. And right. And then you start, and I hear this all the time from people uh-huh. I'm working in. They start saying, I don't know, maybe I should start looking for a job. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then we start having a freak out.
Yeah.
So we be logical about things. I want everybody to embrace their creative juices and be in that flow. But at the same time, mm-hmm. we have to be responsible and do things logically as well, so that we don't create a big financial mess.
Yes. And this is going to be a vague question, or I guess pretty open-ended. But for a creative, what would you say is the greatest investment they could make? Would it be in more training? Would it be an investment in their company? Or what have you noticed that, let's say I have a stack of cash that I want to reinvest in something, what should I do with it if I'm a creative?
Oh, that is a great question. That's such a great question. I'm a huge advocate of personal development. And I think investing in understanding your mindset and mm-hmm. investing in understanding who you are and learning how to increase your self-worth, because sometimes the belief just isn't there. I think that kind of inner work mm-hmm. is super, super important. And even investing in, maybe it's working with a coach, maybe mm-hmm. it's working with a therapist, because I got to tell you, we want to think that everything is always strategy. And I'm saying that from experience, or the very early years, I was always constantly investing in programs where it was all strategy. And then I was like, gosh, dang it, nothing's working. Like, how could this isn't happening? And it wasn't until years ago, I was like, oh my gosh, I've been spinning my wheels because of course the strategy's not working. The mindset's not there, or I didn't work developing my beliefs into healthier ones, and or there's trauma that we have been undone. So I think being able to take care of yourself mentally, emotionally, all those different things is so important, because once you're able to clear that out, once you're able to forgive and release these things, and I talk about forgiveness a lot. I even dedicated an entire chapter to forgiveness in my latest book. And when you're able to do that kind of work, I'm telling you, that's when the strategy starts to click. That's when you don't have the scarcity beliefs get in the way, because you can get all the programs and strategy in the world. But if you don't believe in yourself, and then you have all this fear, you're going to be held back so much. And then you're just going to get frustrated. So I think that is one of the biggest things that somebody can invest in, or at least dive into and start working on. And then I would say one of the things that's important is setting aside that money for systems. That is a huge thing, especially today where there's automation. You find out like, oh, now I got to do this automation into my DMs. Now I got to get a course creation program. Now I got to invest in like transcription program. It adds up. It adds up on a monthly basis. And again, it becomes difficult when you don't have the resources to invest in the systems, because the systems are what's going to make your life and your business run much more smoothly. And I've been there many times when I didn't have the resources, and I'm like, gosh, man, if I had this one program, I could eliminate 10 hours of my life on this. Yeah, I think starting from there, I think that would be a good wish list. Start with mindset, inner work, counseling, therapy, trauma, inner child healing, all that kind of stuff. Go to retreat, whatever the case, go investors, involve yourself in some kind of supportive community, and then start creating what I like to call like my business wish lists, where I write down the programs I want, the coaching I want to work with, the systems I want to eventually buy. Because truth be told, if you guys haven't, for those of you listening out there, if you haven't dove into that yet, that kind of stuff can go into the tens of thousands. So yeah, I know. So it's so important to just keep that in mind, that there are going to be lower end programs and systems. And then there's going to be ones that are like 300 to 500 to 1,000 a month, whatever the case may be. So just know that you don't have to do all of it at once, but just give yourself the grace that, you know, once you just dive into it, that it's like this ongoing process. You don't, it's not like you start it and then I arrived, I don't need to learn anything new. It's this ongoing, hey, how do I continuously be better? Because the better that we become, the better that we can show up for our clients and the people that we work with.
Yes, no, that's great pieces of advice. Those are wonderful. I want to pivot now to your personal experience. Like, you're someone who's written 25 books and
Seven.
You said, sorry.
20 years as a designer.
25 years as a designer and 7 books. And I just want to know, you said that there was a point in your life where you made that transition into your creative endeavor too quickly. And I guess you didn't allow yourself a lot of time. Would you mind telling your story? Because maybe others out there could relate to it.
Yeah. Okay. So I will break it down, because it's like this weird, I left, I came back, and So I actually started as a designer, a graphic designer to be specific. So just to be more specific, I worked in entertainment. So I worked on the movie displays, and this is back in the day when we used to have this thing called DVDs. And I created that stuff for the displays, and it was in stores, and then even for the gaming industry, like for GameStop and Vivendi Universal. So that was my background. And then if you've ever done work for entertainment, it is brutal. It is relentless. The hours are just brutal. And so I got burnt out. And after doing that for the time, I think I had been doing it for about maybe 5-7 years. I was like, I'm done. I'm just going to freelance. And I was fortunate enough, that's another side note, get really good at networking. I can't even tell you. I don't even have to look for projects. And for the most part, most of my design life, almost all of it, I never had to look for work. I was very good at networking. People knew what I did. So it was very easy for me to attract that. And I didn't even realize it back then. And so I ended up going into financial services. So this is where there was an overlap. So that jump that we're talking about was I hated that design job so badly. I didn't hate the creativity. I hated where it worked. And all I wanted to do was just work for myself. And so I was like, you know what? That's it. I was fascinated with money. And I didn't understand how it worked. I made very good living in my early 20s. And I was like, I have no freaking idea what I'm supposed to do with this money. I did know that it wasn't supposed to sit in a bank. But that's all I knew. And that sparked my interest into learning it. And so eventually I became a financial advisor. So I did that for like 10 years. And so in this space, what was interesting was I was so badly trying to get away from design. I was like, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't even want to tell people I do it. But I got to tell you, if that is your gift and talent and that's in you, you cannot escape it. It will find you. It will find you. And it always found me over the years, and that I continued to take projects because I would miss it. I'd be like, okay, I'll just take this one. It would just come to me. It would show up and I'm like, hey, do you want to take this? So I would. And fast forward, the jump was, okay, so this is what happened. Oh my gosh. I ended up taking, no, this is, I'm putting a disclaimer, do not follow this advice. I'm telling you from the wrong
caution warning.
Do not follow it. At the time, it was like before the first mortgage crash in 2008, I took out a line of credit. And so I was like, okay, this money is going to be the money that's going to help me jump. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be able to leave. Because at the time, I just wanted to get out of there. I was crying every day at work because I hated it. I didn't even care how much money I was getting paid at the time. So I tell clients now when they want to leave, and I've had this client, I said, I know it's so tempting. You just want to quit. I said, trust me. Remember my story? I said, this anger will wear off and you're going to wish you had that paycheck coming in. So let's be smart about this.
Yes.
So I took the line of credit out. I lived off of that for a while. And so then I went into... So all that stuff I told you guys about 10 minutes ago, I didn't do that. I know better now, not that I have to do that, but don't.
Well, you have to make the mistake first to know better.
Absolutely. Trust me. It was a huge mistake, but it served its purpose. And so I was able to leave. And then I was able to build that career in financial services. And I gotta tell you, there, as an entrepreneur, there are going to be these scary times where there isn't always this clear, hey, pull the string for the parachute to open. There are many times I have to say, I just jumped. And I would always make this funny saying that I say, I just jump and I will sew the parachute as I'm falling down. Many times that has happened and it works out. But I also have this belief, like, I will figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important, especially as creatives, to check your mindset. What are you saying? Are you looking at this, whatever it is that you're striving to do, are you going into things that I don't know, we'll see if it works out, or I don't know, I think I'm scared it won't work. Is that what you're saying? Or are you going into it saying, I'm going to figure this out. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to make this work. Is it the former or is it the latter? And for me, it was always the latter. And even when I made the biggest mistakes, the most expensive mistakes, I always look back and go, did I die? Did I hurt anybody? No, everything worked out. It was a little bumpy. It was scary. Well, scary AF. But you know what? We all made it. And that just gives me hope. And I always look at it. Even my son will look, but what if this doesn't work? And I'm like, then you will know what to do at that moment. And you will make a new decision. But you don't need to worry about that right now. You will figure that out once you get to that moment, if you get to that moment. But for you to waste any energy on what's not going to work, that's not even happening, it's such a waste of our time. And so we have to be so protective of our energy and our mindset and how we're saying things.
Yes, that is wonderful. Wow, you've given us such great insights on this podcast. I'd like to wrap up now. So if you want to shout out to your website, your social media channels, where can people go and check out your coaching?
Yeah, so you can go to my site and all my handles are the same, made it easy. So it's at Jen Money Coach, and even the website is jenmoneycoach.com. So it's J-E-N-M-O-N-E Coach, Jen Money Coach. So that's Jen with one N. Yeah, so I'm there on Instagram, LinkedIn, and that's the website, and Facebook. So happy to connect. Let me know that you saw me here on this podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. And if you listeners like this podcast and you want more episodes like this, then please share it with a friend or family member. And we're glad that you joined us today.